Good morning. Happy New Year. Here's what we get to do with calendars, right? With a new year. We get rid of that old year and we start over. Did that make anybody feel better or worse? Worse? Well, it may make some people think about trying to be better in the new year. We always talk about trying to lose weight, eat healthier, do better things, more things, exercise, whatever. But one day, turning the calendar is really not going to make a whole lot of difference. I can remember, there will be some younger people in here that won't be able to remember, but the year 1999. Can anybody remember December 31st, 1999, what the world was like? It was a panic. People were scared to death of what was going to happen one day later. Oh, the computers are too dumb. The computers won't figure this out. The world runs on computers. What in the world's going to happen when we have to change all the way over to a 2 instead of a 1? And what happened after that day went by? Not a thing. Nothing happened. And if you want to make your new year better, one of the things that we should have done to help our new year be better is not miss Christmas. Did you miss Christmas? Do you know that there are people who are, I'm going to use a word that might sound kind of derogatory, offensive, nasty. I'm going to use the word ignorant a couple of times today. And sometimes we use that in a, oh, that person's ignorant or whatever. But I'm using it today in a gentle but informative way that ignorant, I looked in the dictionary, means simply lack of knowledge or information. And there are people that are ignorant of certain things. For instance, I was talking with a friend of mine. We were talking about church. We were talking about grandchildren. And he was disappointed that some of his grandchildren have never been in church, and they're teenagers. They're maybe Luke's age, some a little older, some a little younger. And he was talking to one of them on Good Friday and said, do you know why you're off school today? You know what Good Friday is? She said, no. Had no idea what Good Friday was all about. How about Easter? No, had no idea. No clue. She didn't have the knowledge. She didn't have the information. And then there is another group of us that, or people that can become rather apathetic. I've done this, you know. How many Christmases have I seen? I've seen a few Christmases. I don't need to see any more. Satan has cluttered up Christmas with needless stuff. So much that people have missed Christmas. And it doesn't have to be just today. It happened in the past. If we go back and look at the very first Christmas, very first one, there's a few people who were really close to Christmas and they missed it. One of the things you might have missed about Christmas is, did you know that there's a Christmas alphabet? It's a little different from the normal alphabet, our regular alphabet. There's a Christmas alphabet. The reason it's a Christmas alphabet is because there's no L in it. Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your many blessings. We just ask that now as we turn to a new year, you would help us to glorify you, to testify to you, to praise you and worship you and honor you. We pray for those that are not able to be with us here this morning. We pray for especially Bob Phillips. We thank you for the intervening that you had with him and for the improvement that he has shown. We continue to pray for him. He's not able to be here with us this morning. We pray for Tim and Jenny and the children as they will be traveling today. We pray for travel mercies for them. And we pray for those who do not know your Son as Savior, those who have missed Christmas. We pray for them. We ask now that you would just open our hearts and minds to what you would have us to know and to learn. One of the first people or person that missed Christmas was the innkeeper. If we think about that, if we look at Luke 2:7, and she being Mary, brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, it doesn't really say a whole lot about the innkeeper there, but that's also the point. It doesn't say a whole lot about him. What did he do? Was he ignorant? He might have been partially ignorant. He might not have known all the circumstances. He might not have known about looking for a Messiah. But I bet he had some information, because I bet Joseph went up and knocked on the door and said, "Do you have a room? My wife is about ready to have a baby." I think he had that information. But he didn't do too much with it. He didn't call for his wife, although we don't know if he had a wife. He didn't call for help. He didn't really do a whole lot. Why? Well, he was busy. We know that the town of Bethlehem was hopping because of the decree that everybody had to go back to where they belonged to pay taxes and register. So he wanted to make sure that people were comfortable, paid their bills, took care of the elite, the VIPs. So he was just busy. Too busy. How about today? Were you busy around Christmas time? Were you busy wrapping presents, shopping, parties, trying to make the right impression, trying to be at the right place at the right time, trying to go to, when you get older, you don't have to worry about, and you don't have, your children are all grown up, I don't have to go over to this family one day, and this family another day, and this family another day. But that can keep us busy. That can keep us from missing Christmas. Our society is literally filled with unnecessary and insignificant, meaningless stuff. And we pay a small fortune for it, don't we? Especially today. All of the pleasures, these are all P words for you. All of the pleasures, passions, parties, preoccupation, presents, so dominate our lives, especially during the season, that we miss the real meaning of Christmas. The world is so ignorantly preoccupied with the mundane and meaningless that they don't adore Christ or invest in his kingdom. I want to just digress just a little bit, because I highlighted in blue the word she. She representing Mary. Think about Mary's position. We know that, or suspect, that life was hard enough that people grew up faster and quicker than they do today. So we think of Mary must have been somewhere, we kind of venture and people conjecture, in her teenage years, anywhere from 13 to 19, let's say, that's the teenagers. So we'll put her in the middle, so let's say she's 16, 17 years old, and going to have a baby. And she didn't get much help from the innkeeper. One of the things that I watch a few Westerns every now and then, and anytime that there's a woman's going to have a baby, what do they tell the father? Go boil water, get some rags, clothes, cloths, and then, get out of here. So that was kind of, I'm sure, a rather common practice then too. So there wasn't anybody with her. She was alone. She had that baby. It says she brought forth her firstborn son. I know of a young woman in this sanctuary that was 17 years old when she had her first child. She was scared to death. She didn't even want to go to the hospital. She was a couple thousand miles away from her family, but she wasn't, at least had care. And when she did that, at that time, when she had her first child, it was really not, it was kind of the standard I just talked to you about. It wasn't normal for the father to be there at that time. So I wasn't there. The second child, it was a little, some men were there, some fathers, some weren't. It wasn't quite popular. By the third child we had, most fathers were in the delivery room. I was in there for my third child. I got a chair, and I sat up right next to Wanda's head and held her hand for her. And the doctor said, would you like me to get a mirror and adjust it for you? I said, no. I do not need that. Thank you. But think about Mary by herself. Just an interesting position. Someone else that definitely missed Christmas was Herod. Now, Herod is an interesting person. He did, I won't say a lot, but he did a number of good things. He was a constructor, a builder. He built a lot of things, roads, waterways, the temple. He worked on the rebuilding the temple. He was quite astute at that. But he was also very afraid of his position. He was afraid someone was going to take his place almost all the time. One of the reasons was is he wasn't really elected. The people weren't really behind him. He was appointed by the Romans. They put him there. Now, if you go back in his genealogy a little ways, you'll see that I believe it was his grandmother may have been Jewish. But he wasn't really a true Jew, but here he is, the king of the Jews. And so he thought he'd go out and appease the people a little bit more, and so he went out and he married a Jewish woman. Like so many sometimes during that period, he was already married. So he sent his current wife away and married this Jewish woman. And after a little while, he started thinking, oh my goodness, she's Jewish and she's 100% Jewish. I'm a fraction. She could get people behind her rise up and throw me out. What in the world am I going to do? So what does he do? He kills her. And then he thinks about her brother, who's also a Jew, might want revenge, so he kills him too. And then one of the saddest things is he thought about his own children that he had with this woman. He thought, They're more Jewish than I am. So you can guess what he does to them. He kills them too. And of course, we know that his fear of a little baby was so strong that he sent people to Bethlehem and kill every little boy 2 years and younger. Quite a guy. So when King Herod heard this, he was troubled and all of Jerusalem with him. The king ain't happy, nobody's happy. But what did he hear? Well, he heard from the wise men, and they came. And when he heard that, he was very distressed. So can people miss Christmas today because of fear? I think so. A jealous fear. There are people who want to run their own lives. They don't want interference. My way or the highway. I want to self-determine what my values are, what I do, where I go, what I say. I don't want to be holding to anybody. I'm not going to bow down to anybody. I'm going to be my own king. So what does Herod do when he heard from the wise men that they came? Interesting, they came to Jerusalem. They came to the palace. They came where the king was and said, hey, we're looking for this new little baby who's born king of the Jews. And so he goes and he gathers all of the chief priests, the scribes, and he gathers them together and he demands of them where Christ was born. Now the chief priests, they're the guys who walk around in their wonderful robes. They're so pious, they're so pure, they're so, I'm following the law, so much so that they'd either have a band around their wrist or across their forehead with scripture on it to prove how they are following the law. Excuse me. And so when they gather together, the scribes and the chief priests, the scribes are, of course, the people who were doing the linguistic part of writing and interpreting. So these guys think they know everything, and sure enough, they do. What they know, and they come back and they tell King Herod is, and now Bethlehem in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule over my people Israel. Out of you is going to come the king of the Jews. They knew it. They read it. They wrote it. Supposedly interpreted. That quote, even though it says Matthew up there, New Testament, we all know is really a quote from Micah. Micah 5:2 is almost that, word for word. So it was in that Old Testament that they were walking around carrying on their heads or their arms or writing about. They knew it. And what did they do about it? They didn't do anything. They just missed Christmas, just like everybody else. And how did they miss it? Well, they missed it kind of out of prideful indifference. I'm so good, I don't need to pay any attention to what's going on around me. They didn't need a Messiah because they already felt that they were self-righteous. They felt that they were perfect. They felt that they were good. They did all the right things. They followed the law. So they missed Christmas because of that. And they thought that all of their good deeds were so wonderful. Tim referred to this either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And I always like visual things you'll see later, and I like to see it in writing. Here comes Isaiah 64:6 says, and all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteousness acts are like filthy rags. So all these wonderful things and all these laws and all the things that those pious Pharisees, Sadducees, chief priests were doing was just like filthy rags to God. How about today? Things that we do today. We think that we're doing things. We can come to church. We can sit in the pews. We can give money when the plates pass. Of course, that was pre-COVID, when we passed plates. Reminds me of a little boy who was first time to church. And they were passing the offering plates and people were putting money in. And he hollers down the row in the pew and says to his dad, "Hey, you don't have to put any money in for me. I'm under 5 years old." So the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests all missed it because of their indifference, their apathy. They didn't need a Messiah. They were already perfect in their own minds. But all that perfection we know is really like filthy rags. They didn't care about their Savior because they won't believe that the wages of sin is death and they need to be saved. Same way today. One of the biggest things is that people don't want to talk about being sinful. They don't want to talk about death. They don't want to talk about the wages of death and what comes. Other people that missed Christmas were people in Jerusalem. The Jerusalem society would look down upon the shepherds, right? The shepherds were the unclean people. They were the ones that didn't make it to the temple often enough for the ceremonial washings and cleanings and sacrifices because they couldn't. So they were in the higher elite people, the Jerusalem society. And so they missed out because they were following all of these chief priests that are walking around doing all the good. They're doing what they're doing. They're doing what they're told. They're doing what they think they're supposed to be doing. They think that they're doing the good things, the right things. They're following the law. They're doing things. They think doing things is what's important. And as we see, doing things are like filthy rags if you're not doing it for the right reason. They were so busy carrying out their rituals that they missed Christmas. Now, I will have to step back a step or two and tell you that there were at least two people in Jerusalem, you'll remember, that got the picture, that didn't miss Christmas. Simeon and Anna. They both knew who the Savior was, and they both worshiped, and neither one of them missed Christmas. But do you think that they went around and told anybody? I think they did. How about the shepherds? The shepherds were out in the hills, maybe somewhere halfway or who knows how far in between Bethlehem and Jerusalem they were. We know they went to Bethlehem. Depending on whether you want to look at the closest edge of Jerusalem to the closest edge of Bethlehem, somewhere between 2 to 3, 5 miles. I was reading a little piece of article that said that they think that Jesus may have walked maybe close to an average of 20 miles a day. So let's just say the average person may have walked 10 or 12 miles a day. Could they have walked from Jerusalem to Bethlehem without too much difficulty? Now I have to be careful, I'm not too critical, because with this body and this knees, I'm not walking 2 or 3 or 4 miles myself, but That was their culture. That was the norm for them. So I can imagine that the shepherds not only told everybody or anybody they ran across, I shouldn't say everybody, anybody they ran across in Bethlehem, but I'm guessing that not all of the shepherds could go. Some had to stay with the sheep. They go back and tell those. And I got to go tell my brother over here in Jerusalem. I got to tell my family about this. So there were people in Jerusalem that knew. No one wanted to go 2 or 3, 4 miles and check it out for themselves. They didn't need him. I'm already good. I'm already doing all the right things. And today, we have people that are saying the same thing. I don't need them. They had the God of the Scriptures. The Jews had the right God. But they had it all twisted up. And they were worshiping God the way they wanted to, because it was convenient. They weren't doing it the right way for the right reasons. They were doing it in a way that was easy and convenient. Didn't want to disrupt their schedule, their lifestyle. So they too missed it. I read this statement and I pondered it for a while. Religion condemns men faster than anything else, because it is a set of rituals. Religion condemns men faster than anything else. Think about that. What a statement. My dad always said that there were people sitting in church going to hell so fast that you can't see it. He said that because they missed Christmas. They came to church. They were doing the rituals. They came to church. Throw a little money in the offering plate. Maybe volunteered with the Kiwanis, the Rotary. Shoveled their neighbor's sidewalk. Did all of those good things. But they were looked at as filthy rags because they had missed Christmas. They didn't have Christ. They weren't doing it for the right reasons. They were doing it because it's convenient, because it was easy. It's not easy necessarily, the Christian walk, but you always have someone walking with you. But religion condemns men faster than anything else. Think of rituals. You think of Muslims, Buddhists. We even have churches in our country that go through rituals. You have to bow at the right time. You've got to kiss the right rings. You've got to kiss the scriptures in the right place. You have iconic pictures. All of those are rituals that unfortunately keep people from seeing the Christ at Christmas. It's sad. And then you'll get the people who will say that there's more than one way. You know, the Buddhists are worshiping. They're nice. They're quiet. They're peaceful people. Muslims, people like to say that they're a quiet, peaceful people. And then there's the person who says, I can worship out on the golf course or the tennis court. I don't need to go to church. I don't need anything. I can do it myself. And what happens? They miss Christmas. How about the Romans? Boy, did they miss Christmas. They were kind of the start of the whole chain of events, weren't they? Caesar Augustus sending out his decree. We're going to tax you people. Go to where you can register, where you belong, your hometowns. We want to tax you. They certainly missed Christmas. And they were involved in Jesus' life throughout it, weren't they? I mean, they captured him, tried him, crucified him. But they missed Christmas. Now, one of the reasons they missed Christmas was because of idolatry. We talked about Jerusalem having the right God, worshiping in the wrong way. The Romans, they just had the wrong gods, period, that they were worshiping. They had many different gods. And as a result, they felt their way was okay. How about today? Do people worship false gods? You've heard many different people talking about some of the things that we can get ourselves involved with that become more important to us than coming to church or to see Christ or to miss him at Christmas. We have things like a desire for power that overpowers everything that we do. We have people with designs on prestige. Pornography, unfortunately, hooks a lot of people. People want to be popular. Look at the sports figures of how they want to be popular. And there's, of course, all the material things that can take away your ability to see Christ at Christmas. People long for and strive for and want as much money as they can possibly get. People have desires on cars and boats and material things, houses, fame. These are our idols. The Romans had theirs, but we're no different. We have ours. And in having our idols and worshiping them, we will miss Christmas also. Unfortunately, familiarity can strangle conviction. Familiarity can strangle conviction. What do I mean by that? Well, people have heard the Christmas story so often, so many times, that they become apathetic to it. They're familiar with it, but in a way they're ignorant. They might have some information, but they don't have all of the knowledge that they need because they're too familiar with it. Christmas, I like to start Christmas early in case you don't know that. Another little aside. Wanda told me that, November 1st, when Christmas music comes on, XM Radio, that's my channel immediately, is XM 71. And I keep talking to Wanda about putting up the Christmas tree, and she says, it's not even Halloween yet, be quiet. We'll decorate the tree after Thanksgiving. Did you notice there's a little bit of wiggle room in there? She said decorate. She didn't say anything about putting it up. So during the halftime of a Penn State football game, before Thanksgiving, I put the Christmas tree up. And then she was kind enough to decorate it after Thanksgiving. But I can see how people might get too familiar with Christmas. It starts early and keeps on going for a while. But there are many reasons why people miss Christmas. We've talked about an ignorant preoccupation, occupied with something else and don't know enough about Christ and Christmas. Fear. I don't want my life to change. I like it the way it is. I don't want to do anything different. You're going to cramp my style. I have to do stuff different. I can't talk the way I want to talk. I'm going to be controlled. Part of that's true. Your life will change. But you will want to do or not want to do those things, not because of requirement, not because of rituals, but because of what Christ did for you. And we can get hung up on rituals, we can get hung up on false gods, and maybe, unfortunately, become too familiar with Christmas. But what it all boils down to, pretty much, is that people don't believe, and they have unbelief about who Jesus is and what happened at Christmas. John 1:10 tells us, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Ignorance. Didn't know him. That's only one of 25 pages where we still got more to go. But there's always a but. There is hope on the way. Matter of fact, hope came at Christmas. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. What a blessing that is. So we don't want to miss the gift at Christmas. What's our remedy? Well, first we have to acknowledge the gift of God. We have to acknowledge Jesus. Why do we want to do that? Well, there's a familiar verse for you. For God so loved the world that he, Tim says, what's the word? Gave. There's the gift of Christmas. God gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have hope, have everlasting life. What a promise, what a hope. How many more Christmases will you miss Jesus? We can miss him a little, even though we know him, if we get hung up in all of these different things. And then I'm going to ask you the question, how many more Christmases do you have in order to not miss him? I think a lot of us in here, this is participation time. How many Pittsburgh Steelers fans do we have? Okay. Do you think Franco Harris thought he was going to see this Christmas? I bet he did. He was healthy. He was giving an interview one day, and he was gone the next. Now, some of the 30 and under crowd might just say, well, he was old anyway. Well, he was born in 1950. I was born in 1947. So he's not that old. I also was at Penn State when he was at Penn State. But he didn't get a chance to meet Christ at this Christmas. And one of the things that in reading about Franco and his death and what may or may not have happened, not sure, natural causes, they were detailing some of his life and the things that he did and the good things he did and how notable and charitable he was. And one of the comments that struck me as sad was the comment was made that they didn't know anything about his religious beliefs or life. And I don't either. But I hope and pray that that might not be said of you, that people don't know about what your religious beliefs are. And I hope that none of us in this room have missed Christ at Christmas. And then the younger crowd, like I said, will say, well, he was old, I'm young, nothing's going to happen to me, I'm still so young. Well, let me tell you, I bet you can go in almost any day of the year and find where some tragic event took a young life, whether it would have been drinking and driving, texting and driving, or you're the perfect driver, but the other driver is the cause of your loss of life. How many Christmases do you have? Well, we know that Jesus stands and knocks at the door, knocking on your heart, wanting to come in, wanting to be that gift for you to accept. How long will he continue to knock? I take you back a minute to Moses. Moses went to Pharaoh how many times? Time after time after time. And there was plague after plague after plague trying to impress Pharaoh that he ought to listen. But what does it say happened to his heart? It hardened. And it hardened to the point that unfortunately something extremely dramatic had to happen. Loss of life. Does the knocking get lighter and lighter? I'm a visual guy. This is show and tell time. Some of you may have seen this before. I left the caps on just in case I bumped the table and spilled everything. That would have been awful. But you would have gone home 10 or 15 minutes earlier. What we have here is jar, clean jar, pure. For the sake of argument, let's let this represent God. Clean, pure. Okay? This jar, let's say, represents sin in the world. Here we have a couple of individuals. And of course we know that eventually at some point in time, and it doesn't take long, after we are born fairly pure, but sin enters our life at some point in time. And now, when God looks at us, he doesn't see such a clean, pretty picture as before, does he? So what can we do about that? Well, we can accept the gift that he's giving us and gave us at Christmas. So if we accept that gift, let's see what happens. Now, when God looks at us, what does he see? He sees a clean, pure heart because of Jesus. And God sent Jesus not only for just one or two, but he sent Jesus to take care of everybody's sin. We still have this over here, though. What's that? This is someone who has missed Christmas. Now, I debated whether I just leave it there or not, or show you. I think I got the right bottle. I mixed myself. Yep, yes, it's the right bottle. Let's say we start the new year out. We might have missed him at Christmas, but today is another day. Today's the day. We don't know how many days we have, but today's the day. Now, if you're already like this, you've already accepted Christ, what's the point of today? Well, the point of today is that those of us who have already done that are still have an obligation around Christmas. We still need to make sure people know about that gift that they have. How do we do that? Simple little task you have for this week. At participation time. Although, when I'm sitting out there, I don't like to participate like that anyway, so you don't have to. But anybody know someone who they know is not saved? Yeah, I think we all do. We have, my friend has family members, co-workers. Invite them to church this week. Come to church with me. Tim will take care of the rest. I'll lay it on him because he does. But invite somebody to come to church. Nah, I don't go to church. I'm not interested. Thank you very much. Okay. If you were to die today, where would you be tomorrow? That might prompt a question or two. As well as, have you ever done this? Gone out and had to buy tires for their car. And they do their shopping, they do their due diligence, and they find this great place, and they get four sets of tires. What normally will happen later when a guy who goes and does that comes to a friend or whatever, what does he do? Does he keep that quiet? Generally not. Hey, I just got four tires. I got a great price. They put them on for me. They're going to rebalance every 3 months. It's a really great place. You need tires. You ought to go there sometime. Or the other side of the coin is somebody goes shopping and finds a great bargain on a purse or shoes. And the next day somebody says, hey, I like those shoes. Well, you ought to go down here and get these shoes. They got bargains forever. We're willing to tell that immediately. But don't we have something better than a set of tires or shoes or purses to talk to people about? I'm sure you've heard that if you had the cure for cancer, wouldn't you be willing to tell somebody about it? But you've got something better than a cure for cancer. So, let's not miss another Christmas. Matter of fact, let's not miss another day. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you haven't accepted that gift, then please, please don't delay. Because he's knocking at the door. And those of us who know Christ, we need to continue to share him so that others around us don't miss Christmas again. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. Oh, do we thank you for that marvelous, wonderful gift you gave us. How you were willing to give your son and give him up for us, I don't know. But because you were willing to do that, we now have hope. We know where we're going to spend eternity. I pray for all of those who have missed Christmas. I pray for anybody who does not know your Savior as son. And I pray, Lord, that you would send someone to them. Even if that someone has to be me or someone else in this sanctuary. For we know that you will prepare the way and help us if we're willing to take that first step for you. The biggest step we need is to take that gift and accept it. And then we need to continue to take steps for you in addition to that. But that's the most important step. I pray no one would let another day go by without taking that big step. We thank you, Lord, for this time together. We thank you for our safety and security through another year. And we look forward to the blessings that you have for us in 2023. And help us to not take them for granted. In Jesus' name, amen.